Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lou. And as we talked about on our last show, we are taking a bit of a pause in our movie rewatch. We are very honored tonight to be joined by a guest, and we are going to go over some of the new releases in the MCU, talk a little bit of shop with one of the best voices in the MCU media. So let's get right to it. All right, so we are very, very, very happy and honored to be joined by Daze Johnston, a staff writer at Inverse, who is going to help us dummies navigate some of the MCU. Daze, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time. I know there was maybe something special that just happened that you might be a little bit proud of, if you want to add some color there to any recent exploits at work.
Yes, I just got the bump from a part-time TV and movie theories writer to staff writer. So now I am a full professional Marvel person and Star Wars. And other stuff.
and all of the other stuff that keeps people up at night wondering about crazy theories and all sorts of stuff. We promise we won't go, you know, we'll be, you know, maybe towards the end I might get a little frisky and ask you a theories question. But I promised I wouldn't do it to start. First things first, tell us how this happened to you. How did you end up spending a career in writing first off, and then in this nerd world of Marvel and Star Wars and Handmaid's Tale and other stuff?
Yeah, so I was a theater major in school. I was completely like in on you know, writing Shakespeare and reading Ibsen plays and whatever. And then I stumbled across writing. I started writing bachelor recaps and just trying. I realized that I liked writing about art more than I liked writing TV shows and stuff. So I was like, yeah, writing about TV is what I love to do. And when I graduated, I moved back home. I got a minimum wage job selling jeans at American Eagle and started substitute teaching. And then I stumbled across this job listing, and technically I met all the requirements. And it was everything that I love to do. And Inverse took a gamble on me, and it's been a joy every day writing about these random theories that people come up with, interviewing people. It's been a dream come true.
So, Daze, just a quick question on your day-to-day. I know you do a lot of theories writing and a lot of tracking down weird ideas. What does that look like from a writer's perspective? I've done, you know, we've all done some research here and there for work, whether it be, you know, PR stuff, finance stuff, this, that, putting presentations together. But what's it like tracking down the nerds of the world for their crazy MCU theories?
Well, you know, a cursory look at Inverse, you'll see that most of the stuff we get from Reddit, we make it a point of pride to credit the people who come up with these great ideas online. And then we expand upon them. Sometimes I'll take an idea from Reddit and then just kind of spiral out and go, well, if A is B, well, then does technically B mean C? And usually I write 3 articles a day now. I have a couple recurring columns, like tomorrow I'll write about some weird thing that happened in either Star Wars Legends or in Marvel Comics that could be spun into canon. And then, yeah, it's really great. Every single day I wake up and I don't know what I'm going to write about the next day. It's fast paced. It's not exactly like the newsroom, but it's so much fun.
So I was going to save this for kind of the end, but this seems to have led me straight into it. When things like, Marvel at the Movies, right? The big push the other day, when those things get released with, you know, very small amounts of footage of this or that, what does that look like in you know, most assuredly at your home office these days? How crazy is that once something like that gets released?
Oh boy. Like today when they announced that Loki will be dropping on Wednesdays instead of Thursdays, Well, it's very much like a big group chat. We have our Slack channel, and I dropped the link to the tweet and I with just the word Wednesdays. And then we started freaking out because Marvel, when Disney Plus does drop, it's a very big deal for us. I'm usually up at 3 or 4 watching it. And then we are pitching ideas to each other by 7:30, and then we're writing, and I'm usually done around 1 or 2 in the afternoon. So it's a really big deal. So having that move to a whole different day was a lot, but like the previous teaser on Monday, that was my colleague Eric wrote a really great article about the Stan Lee quote that was used. So when something comes out like that, we usually are like, oh, it's really interesting how this, and then we try and see if we can make that into a pitch, make that into an article.
Yeah, do you guys have to like call dibs? Like, is it, oh, I get to do the Stan Lee thing, or I'm doing Black Panther, or I'm doing Eternals? Like, how does that work?
It's usually divided up pretty evenly, and we all have very eclectic brains, so the way that our brains work, there's not usually a lot of conflict of interest. Like Eric is an absolute encyclopedia when it comes to these sort of things, and I am more like, well, what about the implications?
So, yeah, so with that, take me to your nerdy start. I know you said you kind of got into writing about The Bachelor and other TV shows where you were starting to find your stride as a writer, but where did this MCU stuff come from?
That was I. So I wrote about this in an essay about military glorification in Falcon the Winter Soldier, actually. But I got my start watching Marvel movies in Germany. I was living in Germany. My military kid, and we saw Avengers at Corso Kino, which is the only English theater in Stuttgart, Germany. And if you remember in the Avengers, there's a scene where Loki lands in Stuttgart, Germany. So it was a very big moment for us. But aside from before that, I had only seen them on TV. Like that was the first one because before we lived in Germany, I lived in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. So it was a very sheltered lifestyle. Yeah.
That place is like a myth. Like everybody knows it exists, but it doesn't exist, you
It's a
know?
lovely place to grow up, I'll tell you that. It's very safe. Everybody has a background check.
Not a
Be
lovely
fair.
place to be
So
held.
yeah, right. There's a difference, I
I
think.
can't
Someone
speak to
had
that, but
to
it's a cool place to be a second grader.
say it.
So yeah, my had a very sheltered upbringing. So when I was let loose, I was like let loose in high school and college, and I was just like, oh my gosh, it's this whole world of mythology that I hadn't understood. And so it was a very much a binge method for me in the MCU. But ever since then, I've just been, steady stream.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lou, I think we could relate to that in a very specific way. And for avid listeners of the podcast, and if you haven't listened before, welcome to the MCU for Dummies. Go check out our other episodes. Lewis and I kind of had the same type of intro to the MCU. I think we might have both seen Iron Man in the theaters. I think we were maybe 14 or 15, and it was cool, but I wasn't a big superhero guy, so whatever. And I never went to see another one in the theater until Infinity War, which I went to see because I had my appendix out, and going to the movies was the only thing I could physically get up and do. So Lou, I mean, tell me, is that kind of how we got started in the MCU too, right? Was just kind of, whoa, this world exists and it's really cool.
Yeah, I got started because I was told I should watch these movies, right? But like before they were cool, when Iron Man first came out, Captain America, we watched it as a family. It was a lot of these movies that I thought we should see. And I remember when Civil War came out and seeing the movie poster and thinking to myself, this is such a commercialized act. Like they're just milking this for all they really want. And as time goes on, you start picking up different forms of media, you start listening to different podcasts, and you hear these references such as like every actor is going to be a superhero at some point, every actor or actress. And you start thinking about like the Scarlett Johansons and the Michael B. Jordans and these people that have been acclaimed in other fields picking up their title in the movies. And then to Kent's point, you know, that all sinking in with the pandemic, I honestly started my journey with watching WandaVision because I heard it was a good show. I knew nothing about it, so you can only believe how confused I was by episode 2 when she was no longer in the 50s. And now we're in the 60s and there's color. And I was like, what is going on? So from WandaVision, I then just emerged myself in the buffet of Disney Plus and was able to catch up pretty quickly. And I think the only movie I have not seen, including the Ed Norton Hulks, is the latest Spider-Man. So pretty, you know, similar paths to Ken and I of this watching in times of need and then being able to gorge myself in it. Days, I would like to just, I know you write about this on a more intellectual level, this being your day job. Me being in New York City, I went to a couple of the comic shops and, you know, it's incredible seeing, I forgot what they call them. I think they might be called like the Magnum editions where they have like all of the books in one.
Yeah, like the omnibuses. Yeah.
Omnibus, yeah. They have all of the comic books in one, right? And that's obviously probably the most practical approach of going at it these days. But then you got people that have like the originals and such. And I can only imagine what it's like to be a fan of Marvel Comics or DC. And now to be alive and see every movie have like a 9-figure budget for movies to visually put these comics to screen. What are some of your thoughts as being someone in the industry of the times we're living through, where you have TV shows and YouTube channels that are dedicated to this type of stuff and movies that seem like they're coming out every single month? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's easy to get jaded and say that, oh, you know, this is so commercialized and the fact that there's a whole economy run on it is, you know, so toxic and whatever. But I look at it as simple economics. You know, there's obviously a market for these movies, so there should be an industry around it providing what people want, and people want to theorize about these movies. And
don't tell Martin Scorsese, because he doesn't want to hear it.
My thing with Martin Scorsese is, like, he says it's like a theme park ride, but who doesn't like a theme park ride?
Exactly. Oh, it's like, you know, the happiest you've ever been. Oh, okay, thanks, Martin.
Oh, I hate that.
And there are YouTube channels with people reviewing theme park rides, so there's a market for anything. I always try to see Marvel the way that I see any sort of, it's a medium in of itself, so you can make a Marvel comedy, you can make a Marvel Western, you can make a Marvel family drama. And I think that in the past couple of months, we've seen that, especially in WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier. We've seen that fact that, oh yeah, you can make a Marvel sitcom and it's fine. So it's not a genre, it's a tool. That's what I always say.
That's a fascinating way to look at it. And I don't know, it feels like maybe my camera is pointed directly down at my notebook. But the next question I wanted to go towards, kind of getting your feelings on the early slate. I know we've brought up Disney Plus a couple of times. I know Wednesday is a big word for you now, so we won't say that too many times. Hopefully it doesn't activate your Slack channel immediately. But the early parts of Disney Plus, we've obviously been well conditioned to take Marvel as the MCU, right? As the cinematic universe, right? It comes at us on the big screen every couple of months, maybe 2 or 3 times a year, right? Now, we're talking throughout the year 2021 with the addition of Black Widow, which was all chaotic, and the new Phase 4 slate, which is still pretty chaotic, and I'm still generically confused about when things are being released. But through the early part of this new slate of material, we're getting TV shows weekly, and they're being delivered like TV shows. And I'm just interested in how you're receiving those, because it's very different, right, than getting a 2-hour film.
Yes. So, yeah, our coverage is very chaotic at the moment, because usually there are Marvel press screenings. Of course, I couldn't go to them because they're in New York City, but, you know, usually there are Marvel press screenings. But we are just in the same boat as any other fan when it comes to the Marvel TV things, which I think is nice. I like, you know, I've been getting up at 3 a.m. for Netflix releases since I was a freshman in college. So it's very part and parcel of the experience for me. But in terms of, like, form, I love the TV medium. Yeah. I've always been a TV writer more than a movie writer. I love making a script tight to fit into 30 minutes. I love pacing. I love the concept of an episode. People are talking now about how TV shows are becoming more like 10-hour movies, but I think the episode is a lost art, and I will talk for hours about that. But when people were complaining about how WandaVision was so short, I was like, no, make it 22 minutes every episode.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating, and I'm interested to hear your feedback on it, because you're right. There are so many people who are saying, oh, this is just a 6-hour movie when it could have been 2 hours, and there's a lot of fluff in there, right? But I think, I am kind of a slug, so I really enjoy my television. Is like a big, I'm a huge fan of it. I'm moving, clearly, as you can see from my wall decorations, which are non-existent, and I won't even let the movers take my TV. Like, I'm going to take the TV with me, so that way, if I break it, I can only be mad at myself. So, I'm a TV guy. I enjoy progressive stories, right? Stories that take time to manifest. However, I think there has been some feedback on some of this early slate of Disney Plus Marvel where maybe the story just isn't manifesting in the way that they wanted. Obviously, we got kind of the cut storyline, quote unquote, with Falcon Winter Soldier, Captain America Winter Soldier, and the WandaVision stuff, which obviously was polarizing because it wasn't necessarily supposed to be the first thing that came out. So just interested in hearing your thoughts on if the shows are progressing and developing and materializing the way you would expect as a TV writer.
Well, I definitely think it would have made more sense to have Falcon the Winter Soldier first. In my little head, in my alternate reality, we had that first to ease, you know, very mm-hmm. cut and dry Marvel fans into the episodic format, and then hitting them in the gut punch with, okay, it's a sitcom now and there's commercials. But I feel like Falcon Winter Soldier harkens back to an old time of like serialized dramas, like going back to like Gunsmoke or even like old Doctor Who, how there were like multiple chapters in mm-hmm. one long story. And episodic versus serialized, we can see incredibly well within WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier. So the question remains with Loki, where is it going to fall on that weird spectrum?
Oh, man, there's a large part of me that feels Loki is going to give like very Law and Order vibes. You know what I mean? just like a storyline that very tangentially connects, but is just focused on the 60 minutes in front of you. You know what I mean?
I want it to be like Quantum Leap. I want it to be Ooh. Like him going through his various time-related crimes. And it's just like, and maybe the next trip will be the trip back to Asgard.
Is this the one you were most excited? I mean, the Loki show has always been my my soft spot. I've been very, very, very excited for this one for a very long time. What has given you the goosebumps about the Disney Plus slate?
So WandaVision has always been my mm-hmm. 100% on brand, like, this is made for me kind of show, because I lived in Guatemala, Cuba, we didn't really have TV, so I was raised on DVD box sets.
So you are Wanda.
I had the actual same DVD box sets of the Dick Van Dyke show that wow. she has, and it's covered in duct tape now, but it's the same one. And I got very mad because it's supposed to be 1999. What are they doing with DVD box sets that weren't released until 2005?
Wow. Plot hole. This is
exactly
huge.
this is what I get angry about.
Yeah, right. They'll time travel and fix it all, I'm sure.
That's what Loki is about.
He's gonna drop off a box set in Sokovia.
It's a streaming show. It's a love letter to physical media.
That's very funny. That's giving me like weird goosebumps. Okay. I want to, Lou, anything on the new slate before I jump into the heavy stuff? Because I got to get heavy.
Oh, if you're going to get heavy, I have like the softest babies question ever.
Yeah, come on, when softball.
When I read recaps after the episodes, I'm always like, how was everything synthesized here? And I've speculated that if I had to be a writer, I would probably watch the show one time and then I would rewatch it. and then like note it out. Sure. Is it like what are the common practices for some of the people in your industry when you're writing about TV shows, especially when you're waking up at 3 a.m. and you're rushing to get this thing out the door so that people can see it and click it?
I can't speak for like on the dot recaps because usually I do more explainers and analysis, but I can speak. My boss actually does 3 a.m. recaps, and he gets up at 2:30 to do a little pre-write, like just do a little intro and here's where we were, and then he watches it and then he puts it on it, like, and then he just like cranks it out in 40 minutes, and I have no idea how he does it, and I'm incredibly impressed every time. But my thing is usually I watch it once to wake up and to enjoy it. It's got to the point where when I watch the Marvel intro, I get sleepy because I got that Pavlovian reaction, because every single time I watch it, I'm just waking up.
That's funny.
So I watch it once just to wake up, and I make notes of things that grab me, like, oh, that's cool, I should Google that. And then I post that into like our little ideas thread. And then I go back and I watch it again and try to point out, like, pull out key evidence. And then I will go into Google Trends, see what people are Googling. I remember when WandaVision came out, House Speaker John Boehner was trending on Google because people were Googling Ralph Boner. So I was like, I'm pretty sure this is not something that people are meaning to Google, but I'll go for it.
And that's pre-Ted Cruz Speaker Boehner activity,
exactly.
Huh?
Exactly. And then sometimes I'll go in and check our traffic, because there's usually like a little spike if I've written about something that happened. So I can be like, oh, I can extrapolate from that. Like once I wrote about White Vision months and months and months ago, and I saw this little bloop. And I was just like, oh, I guess something about that happens.
Wow. Yeah, Lou, that was actually a really interesting question, because as a writer, I mean, I do some writing in my day job, and days we do it months in advance, and then we log off at 3 p.m. for margaritas. So.
That was honestly my only main question. I think I'm good here.
Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, because
just a quick peek.
Well, so what's funny is the last time before the Falcon Winter Soldier final episode, I was like, Ken, when are you going to watch it? And he's like, I'm going to watch it immediately at midnight. And I'm more of like a maybe the next morning. Like, I like to wake up early. Sometimes I'll watch the episode at 8 o'clock, and I'll be like, okay, time to start the day. It was flipped. I watched it immediately. Ken watched it a little later. And while I was thinking about that, I was looking online trying to connect with just something out there, and I noticed really nothing was written yet. And I was thinking, like, what is that process? Like, do you have to watch it two times? Like, do you really want to soak it in, or do you really want to be sitting there with a notepad, you know, jotting out?
You know what? Wonder, and Days, here's a good pitch for your boss, and it'll help you guys bring on more staff too, is you guys should personalize recaps, you know? So like if Lou watches at 3 a.m., you should have somebody like a Lou watcher.
Just freaking
and
out.
And just to like just joins Lou on a Skype when he's done with the episode. And then that way you can, you know, you can help him cope with any of the new goings ons.
That is a reason why my superhero group chat has a strict you can only talk about spoilers after this specific time, and it makes it so difficult because I want to talk to people as soon as it happens.
Yes. I it's hard. It's hard, and it's also hard knowing that this is such a huge community of people who watch all of these things and read all of these things. And you're also at the same time, you're very conscious of the fact that somebody may not have watched or read it by the time you did, right? So you're very cautious of things that are going on. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm a sports fan, and I was watching a hockey game, and my team lost. And the small little Twitter community that I'm a part of, we were all tweeting about how annoyed we were that the game was over and it ended poorly. And oh, we're all going to go watch Falcon and Winter Soldier. And one of the fans of the team responded like, "This maybe you should maybe wait until tomorrow. This maybe isn't the episode to watch after you're already upset about a loss." And it was, of course, the episode where John Walker goes a little crazy with the shield and beats that poor man to death. So it was just like a very awkward night, because you were just like, oh, you know, he knows way too much. He knows too much. I want to get into some of the, like I said, not heavy. I mean, we're not getting too crazy here, but some of the heavier stuff, this new phase, the new stuff that's coming out, a lot of it is different for a lot of MCU viewers. And I think, Days, we spoke about it. Lou and I are very clearly two white men who watch comic book superheroes that are generically built like big white men, and they act like white men. And here we are entering a new phase of Marvel storytelling with a very diverse group of characters and a diverse set of circumstances, right? So, you know, we started this Disney Plus set with a female-driven story with mental health concerns and a mental health storyline. Then we focused on Sam Wilson and Black Captain America and kind of the racial implications of the Shield and all sorts of stuff throughout the MCU, obviously, with bigger tones of what's going on. We know we're getting Shang-Chi, which is going to, I think, be a pretty big story in terms of how Marvel puts on a Asian-centric story without it being, you know, weird, cringy, you know, to put it mildly.
You can say Fu Manchu.
Yes, without it being that. And then you've got more Brie Larson coming back to the MCU, which we know people are generally angry about, in particular because she just happens to be a woman who people get mad about for some reason.
I will defend Brie to the end.
Me too, buddy. I'm with
all
you.
Of these haters.
I'm with
their head up their ass.
So Days, tell me what it's like covering this new set of stories and how much more goes into writing about them, because they are so different than just white boy gets super soldier manned and is now strong, or rich man is sexy and has money and superhero.
Well, that's where I get really into it, because there are so many more inspirations than just the Marvel comics now. Now we get outside influences, like the whole Isaiah Bradley storyline was inspired by the Tuskegee experiments, which is a heartbreaking story. And if you didn't watch the making of documentary, they mention it in that, but it is definitely worth a Google. And WandaVision pulling from PTSD, the fact that we have PTSD in Falcon Winter Soldier too, with Bucky sleeping on the floor, and that references that old conversation that Sam and Steve have about your bed feeling like a marshmallow. These are all things that people have done the research for. And we're seeing that, you know, these are not just comic book stories, these are human stories. And now that the MCU has moved out of what kind of comic books this is adapting, but more into these are movies on their own, they stand on their own 2 feet, and we see actual fleshing out of what we normally see as symbols in comic books.
What do you think of, and this is more on a look in the rear view, what are your thoughts on how they've handled it so far? Do you think it's, and of course they have to battle with the same things that everybody else has to battle with, right? With just a general audience sometimes that doesn't want to hear it, or, you know, your quote unquote cancel culture balonies, things like that, where they want to, you know, just throw rocks at a glass house. What are your thoughts on how it's been handled so far? I know you mentioned a couple of storylines within WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, but do you think they've been doing it justice so far?
I think the bar is very, very low.
Fair enough.
I mean, I can see a lot of people calling it, you know, Falcon and the Woker Soldier. But also, it makes a lot of broad strokes, it muddies its message a lot in between the thing, like, maybe the Flag Smashers are good, but they're also bad, but they're good. It's just like, which is it? Like, you can have a nuanced villain without constantly saying, man, this villain is so nuanced.
Can you, though? Because I haven't seen it yet.
To raise in a point, do you think that's a gesture towards respecting the audience's intelligence of saying we're not going to classify if the perceived antagonists are the antagonist, when, you know, you think about a character like Ronan the Accuser, who is very clearly the bad guy, or Thanos, who, like, very big bad guy vibes here. But then you got the Flag Smashers, who honestly just seem like a bunch of confused young adults, and then Carly, or as Sam says, Carly Morgenthau. So is that like a tip of the cap to the audience of like, hey guys, you guys figure this out. You decide on if they're bad or good and everyone's intentions, and let, you know, sleeping dogs lie. What are your guys' thoughts?
I would like to think that.
Yeah, so would I. I think the only thing that makes it hard, it's hard for me to opine on Falcon and Winter Soldier and Days. I'm sure you have way more thoughts on this than I do, but it just seemed like so much of it wasn't ready, or that they had to change it, and that it wasn't what they wanted, but they wanted to get it out and they wanted it to be over with. It just gave me a lot of those vibes. Obviously, so much of the other story was so potent and so important and so moving, but then every other scene was just kind of a pile of crap.
Yeah, I just think that it feels like it went through a lot of different drafts, and in one draft you're like, what if we tried making them like really sympathetic? And then it went through another draft and they're like, oh no, scrap that, but some of the relics of the old ones still like showed up. But I mean, it does raise questions about how we look at villains in the MCU, but those questions were already being raised with the whole John Walker thing. Yep. So it just feels like too many villains in the kitchen.
That's never a good thing. First off, if you've got more than one, you've got a real problem. If you've got one, it's still an issue, so you should call for help. But more than one.
In the beginning, there are some scenes in Falcon Winter Soldier where you have everyone in one scene. You're just like, how are we going to tell everyone's story in six hour long episodes? And that for me is what got confusing midway, where you start thinking, all right, emotionally, how much am I investing here? Because we're not going to be able to fit everyone in here. There's too many storylines. So I got some of that also.
I don't know where those vaccines went. You know, we're all still waiting to find out where they took those vaccines. They
on
took
the cutting them. Room floor. That's where they went.
They are somewhere. Before I get into our last bit of fun, I don't want to keep you all night. I mean, we could do this for 16 days straight, but we're not going to, because that's inappropriate. So before I get to our
Guantanamo.
Yeah, right. Before we get to our last fun segment, I wanted to ask, because I still emotionally am not totally back together since that scene with Wanda standing in the middle of her unfinished home, clutching a picture of her family and crying her eyes out. And somebody tweeted a picture of everybody after the snap, the re-snap, I guess, or the third, whatever one, where everybody came back. It was like, you know, Scott Lang and his family, and T'Challa and his family, and then Hawkeye and his family. And we could talk about, what's his name in a minute? Mr. Hawkeye. I put that guy's name out of my head so many times. Jeremy Renner. Yeah. But I mean, just like really quick on WandaVision, because we did a lot of Falcon Winter Soldier talk. WandaVision was awesome. I loved every second of it. I thought I was going to, but I thought I'd have a little bit more context because it maybe wouldn't come out first. But it did come out first, and to me it did a wonderful job of getting everybody back into the MCU. What's up with Wanda, man? I mean, how terribly do you feel for Wanda, and how much do you just want to give her a hug?
Oh boy. So Wanda is a special case of childhood PTSD, severe depression and delusion, basically, and a really, really powerful story about how we use coping mechanisms that may not be the most healthy thing in the world. Her entire escape into media, I mean, I related to personally because I watch an embarrassing number of hours of television a day. And I watched an embarrassing number of hours of I Love Lucy when I was 10 years old, just like Wanda.
Yep.
And you have to think about all this darn loss that she's gone through. Literally every single person in the world has been around. And it just raises those questions of, you know, is it better to have had a family and lose it than to never have a family at all? It raises questions of, you know, how, at what point does a coping mechanism help hurt more than it helps? And it raises the question of grief is just love persevering. Oh,
stop it. I'm going to shoot you the ship of Theseus really quick on the Wikipedia.
That was better than the love persevering line, because it's saying like, oh, if you're not grieving someone, then you obviously don't right. love them anymore.
Yeah, that's the implications. That is definitely a fair point, and I definitely didn't think of that, and it makes me now sad that I enjoyed the line. But the ship of Theseus was just so annoying. I just wanted them to hit each other.
I mean, I made this point in an article. That's literally the first time that Vision has come face-to-face with someone that he can actually relate to. So
that's very fair.
So, of course, he's going to try and, you know, get into his head, because he literally is in his head.
Yeah, I know. And if you do the thing, is it the Vision or is it not the Vision? And now, where the hell is the guy?
Exactly. And if, you know, one Vision is an insufferable intellectual dork, the other Vision's going to be an insufferable right. intellectual
Naturally.
Dork.
Naturally. Here's a question. How angry at Paul Bettany were you when you learned that Paul Bettany was the very exciting actor that Paul Bettany couldn't wait to work with?
You don't understand. I wrote a 2,000-word article going through all the possible people that he could be teasing. It ranged from Dick Van Dyke to Bryan Cranston to...
Wow.
I mean, if you think about it, he's a sitcom actor, he's a prestige TV actor, the two combined. I was so upset, and at the same time, I just can't be mad at the guy.
No, how can you? I mean, how can you? Have you ever seen the movie Wimbledon? It's a good time.
Well, fun fact, I memorized his entire his entire IMDb page, because it had to be someone he said it was someone he hadn't
right.
worked with before.
Right.
So when someone was like, oh, what about Ian McKellen? I was like, you're forgetting about the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, man. You know, see, you do these things and you get a paycheck every 2 weeks. Like, I do some of these things and I have to deal with divorce lawyers. No, I'm kidding. I don't think I do yet. Anyway, I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going on out in the kitchen? Okay. Let's do Daisy. Really quick, before we get in, Lou, anything else before... I want to get into a last segment, a lot of fun, a little bit of a rapid fire session here. Unless somebody's got something before I go.
No, you go ahead.
All right. All right, Daze, here we go. I am going to list off a couple of the upcoming Marvel releases, and I'm going to list off a couple of the already released Marvel things that you've seen and you've digested and you've, you know, written about, I'm sure. I want you to tell me on a scale of 1 to Jeremy Renner's social media app, how well received, I'm sorry, on a scale of Jeremy Renner's social media app to 100, how well you think they'll be received and how well they told their story. How's that?
That sounds like the sort of thing I can do.
Okay, so let's start with Hawkeye. I need to know what your thoughts on what this show will be.
Okay, Hawkeye. It's going to be great. Hailee Steinfeld is amazing.
Fair enough.
It was partially filmed at my college. Bonus points there. And I think that it will be Jeremy Renner's last appearance as Hawkeye, because we can hope.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if I had to give it a number, I think it would be in like the late 60s on a scale of 1 to 100.
That's not bad. That's where most of my high school grades were. So, and we're all sitting here tonight, so we're doing all right. Black Widow worth the wait, or is it just going to be a really annoying disappointment now?
Are you kidding me? It's going to be so worth the wait. I am going to, like, we're all going to flash back to 2020, but yeah. also flash back to when it happens canonically. Florence Pugh is going to be there.
Yep.
You can't have, I mean, Rachel Weisz is going to be there.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to go see it. I really want to see it in a theater. I really, like, yeah. I feel that in my blood.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's the first movie, realistically, that could be seen post-COVID in a movie theater. And also probably Disney Plus for that weird, like, pay to watch.
Yeah, I'm not, which, I just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm going to pay that much, I'm going to have popcorn.
Yeah,
I'll probably just pay for it because I don't want to go to the movies. But I know Ken won't be in the movie theaters.
Oh, Days, I miss the movie theater. So were you a movie theater goer, or were you somebody who just tried to sneak in on, you know, get stuff on the Netflix or on the side?
Well, I don't drive. I don't have a driver's license because anxiety. So I was very much a, I'll just catch that when it comes to X, Y, and Z, or I'll go when my family goes or whatever. But for a while, in late 2019, I guess, I had, a season pass for Regal Cinemas, and the theater was within walking distance of my minimum wage job. So I would just go Rise of Skywalker again, or go see Cats, because
you saw that thing twice.
Glutton for punishment.
Yeah, I was going to say, you really just go to anger yourself after a long day at your minimum wage job. You're really leaning into it.
Yeah, but now I'm living in a small town, and there is a movie theater really close by within walking distance, which means it will probably be pretty empty, and I'm fully vaccinated at the end of the month. So we're going to see it.
Yes.
There we go.
Rock and roll, man.
You've dropped two wows before.
Wow.
We keep talking about Loki. I don't know. We had Owen Wilson on the pod, too.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I am. This is between Jeremy Renner's social media app and the announcing of the new Black Panther movie title. Like, this is all the way on the Black Panther side. I am X times millions points excited for Loki. Where do you stand, Daisy?
I am three words. Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about what's going on. As long as the guy from With Nail and I is there, I'm there.
I mean, I just want to know do you think we're going to get our first wow, like, in the first scene, just so we can get it out of the way? Like, they know that's a thing, right?
I would be surprised if it's not a recurring bit where have you seen Tom Hiddleston do impressions? He is incredibly gifted at it. I'm sure he's got an Owen Wilson in there somewhere.
Everybody's got an Owen Wilson face.
There's a clip somewhere of him on the Graham Norton show with Robert De Niro, and he's reciting lines from Heat at Robert De Niro. And you can tell that Robert De Niro is absolutely hating it, but it's so good.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to find that. And maybe we'll put the link in the description of this thing, because that sounds awesome. We actually also had a discussion about Robert De Niro on another at another time, and I just am, like, I'm very over it. Ever since The Intern, it really has been not a lot of fun for me and Robert.
He needs to go to sleep.
He does. He just needs to start taking naps. I will say, What If to me is very much on the Jeremy Renner social media app side. How about
really?
You?
I mean, that's you're talking to a professional theories writer here.
Yep. Fair enough.
I am
Fair
on enough. The other end of the spectrum. I read Marvel 1602 last week.
Cool.
And that honestly, like, oh, it was so, so good. And I just feel like the more we explore these sort of alternate universes, we got in What If or in Multiverses of Madness or whatever, this is where the future of Marvel lies, in the branching out. But that's just me.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know. I don't know. Something about the Prime MCU really gets me. And then there's, like, the multiverse stuff, and I just get nervous about it because, like, if you don't do it right, then it just gets too confusing. And I'm already generally confused just by my nature of being alive. So I don't need any help with confusion.
I'm a Doctor Who fan. This is what I'm used to.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I could never get into it because I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. I need The Walking Dead, right? Where I know if somebody's a zombie or somebody's not a zombie. That's it. There we go. That's as nuanced as I can get. Okay, Days, last question, and I promise we're gonna let you go. I promised we wouldn't do a lot of theories, but I just want to hear your thoughts about where we are going as an MCU. Are we going into Young Avengers? Are we going into Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers? What is the big team up that's on the horizon in our future?
Now, I am a very wishful thinking, manifest it and it will come kind of person. So I am 100% sold on Young Avengers just because I want to see Billy Kaplan.
Yeah.
And his Hulkling boyfriend.
Please. I'm still hoping that Sam and Bucky are going to figure it out, but.
You can help that all you want, but there's, according to an inverse interview with Malcolm Spellman, there's a whole bunch of uncut Sam, Bucky and Sarah stuff. So,
fine, I'll deal with that. That's acceptable.
So cute together.
They are.
I definitely think that we're going to get. I think Valentina is definitely working on some sort of Thunderbolts,
yep.
The Boys-esque kind of anti-hero squad. Why she didn't go after the power broker is
it's fascinating.
Baffling to me. The whole power broker thing is just so frustrating.
I can't.
It's a very sensitive topic here.
It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Why did she guard them when they were raiding her lab?
She was murdering her own people. And then she, somehow her and Steve Rogers weren't friends during the blip. If she was still there, and if she was blipped, how did she create this worldly organization in 6 months?
Exactly. Well, technically it has been a decade since that time, so she had 5 years, but she's the most powerful person in Madripoor.
And what's his name? Zemo said he knew about her decades before he went to prison.
Maybe it's like a Dread Pirate Roberts situation. This is what happens. I do so much work to justify their choices.
We just have to hope that maybe they, are still coming up with who the real power broker is, and
it's all a big fake out.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think that I just would be stranger if they did that, even though this is already strange and doesn't make any sense. So
yeah.
Can I ask a silly question? Because this is MCU for Dummies. Who is the bald guy in the car?
That's Zemo's butler dude.
Who we met when they took that plane.
Mm-hmm.
When they busted
rich?
Him out.
Okay. All right. I'll see myself out.
Yeah, no, that's okay, buddy.
You guys keep going.
It was confusing to me too. And then of course, I thought the Flag Smashers were gonna continue to be a storyline, and the next thing you know, they're just all dust in the wind.
Well, I think that they're gonna come back because remember what Carly said? It's like, even if we die, we're gonna become martyrs. Yeah. And they died, and they're gonna become martyrs. It's gonna be our fallen heroes sort of situation.
They certainly are dead. Nobody can nobody can take that away from them. They definitely accomplished that.
Unless multiverse.
Right. Yeah, who knows? Yes. Sam and his very thick backside in another universe, him and Carly are besties and are running around Sam's stealing so vaccines sick. And giving them to people or something.
They were like, Sam, we're gonna make you Captain America, and he was like, I'm gonna squat every single day and get ready for this. And they're like, we just need you to run around your lakeside house, that's all we need you to do, and do some backflips. He's like, I'm gonna squat every day, so they know.
Gosh. There were just some things about that show that were really good and some things that were so strange, man.
Did you guys feel that Bucky got more personable as the show went on? In the first couple of episodes you're like, who is this guy? And then towards the end you're like, oh, he's funny, he has a personality, he's laughing now,
he's part of the family. This is what you said, we have these huge shows now, we can fit so much fluff, but these Marvel things are made in the fluff, they're made in the personality, they're made in the world building, they're made in the little moments, like him with the cake and all the kids hanging off of his arm. This is where the show is made, and I did not write this article, but I had this long theory in my head about how the boat represents Sam's destiny to become Captain America, and he's denied it at the beginning, and then as he goes on, he fixes it up, and he realizes that no, you don't have to sell the boat, you can keep the boat, and then everyone comes together and shows him, no, see, you're worthy of the boat. It's all a metaphor.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And then even Bucky helps him fix it up, you know.
Yeah, it's a little literature 101, but it works.
Well, you know, you are on a podcast with two dummies. So
we don't get paid for this. So
we appreciate that. Daze, what can you plug for everybody? Tell everybody where they can find your stuff. What are you working on? What should they be on the lookout for?
Oh yeah. So as you said, my stuff is at inverse.com. It's a really great site. We cover both science and science fiction, so your all your bases are covered. I work with amazing people, and I'm really proud of what we do. Personally, I'm at the good old days with a DAIS on Twitter. I am part of a Zoom theater group called the Cobalt Internet Theater, where we do little table reads, which is how I get my theater kid energy out when I'm not writing. And that is all I do in life.
What else does one need? I think exactly. That's more than enough to keep anybody busy. Daze Johnston, a staff writer at Inverse. Thank you for joining the dummies and helping us navigate some of this new stuff and figuring out this new MCU that we are all growing into here in 2021. So thank you so much.
Yeah, my thank pleasure. You. First thank guest. You for having me.
Thank you. Yeah. Daze Johnston, a staff writer with Inverse Media. I mean, we said it so many times to end the interview, but Daze, thank you so much for joining us. Lou, quick reaction to what Daze had to say tonight. Just some really fascinating stuff.
Well, yeah, this is the MCU for Dummies, and that was fully on display this evening with a staff writer who is paid to produce content around the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all things TV. Ken, we saw, I felt like at the stage we're at right now, we saw just an absolute consummate professional at showcasing their craft, going over the facts of waking up early for releases on Netflix. This is a historical trend that this individual has taken part of in various events of their life, to just a deep dive analysis of what goes on at their company's Slack channel and producing content when it first premieres. So many little nuggets from this conversation going forward. I think that's what I'll take from me, just this like level of nuance that Daze was able to portray through their conversations, and just what that looks like when you're a professional versus, you know, someone who's just doing this for fun on the weeknights. What about you?
Yeah, I think it felt to me like I was a little kid and I went to baseball camp, and the baseball camp was run by a former professional athlete who, take nothing away from them, they did everything right in their life to become a professional athlete, but by all means, they were maybe not the best Major League Baseball player of all time, but as a kid, you're sitting there and they're teaching you how to swing and they're teaching you how to throw and how to run the bases and how to do all these things that you are just so in awe at the ease at which they do the fundamentals. And that's how I felt talking with Daze. They are just, like you said, just so such a consummate professional, but also the ability to, and she mentioned, you know, the literature 101, right? Like just the silly themes, the easy nuance and the metaphors and all of the subtext that goes on with all these Marvel shows, folks, and movies. You got to read Daze's reporting. It's real, it's legit. It's theories, which who doesn't love a good crazy theory? But at the same time, it's really well researched. It's really well put together, and it's really very worth your time. So we'll say again, thanks to Daze. And then we'll say to everybody listening, thank you for joining. We really enjoy the show. We hope you are as well. Leave a like, click subscribe, yada, 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 all the stuff the stupid YouTubers tell you to do. hit the like button, hit the bell, comment, do the whole thing, share with your friends. Yeah, smash the subscribe button. Seriously, we appreciate all of you for hanging on for dear life with us dummies, and we'll be back with more. I think we're gonna do a couple of more of these types of episodes before we get back into the movie rewatch. So stick around, we got some more fun stuff coming up. Once again, Days, special thanks to you, and thanks to everybody listening. I'm Dummy Number One, Ken. That's Dummy Number Two, Lou. And this is the MCU for Dummies.